Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not even withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My name is Bailey Brislin, and I feel so grateful and honored to be joining you all for worship on this All Saints Sunday. There's a lot of familiar faces that I'm getting to see right now, but I grew up in this church, and many of the most formative memories of my faith happened here in the walls of this place. Would you all pray with me? Holy God of love, would you speak to us today as we are joined by the company of the saints who have gone before us? Speak to each of us the blessing that we need to hear and receive, that we may be transformed by your spirit of love and mercy. Amen. I was in divinity school at Duke during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, and after a few semesters of Zoom school, I found myself needing an outlet that did not involve a computer screen and the four walls of my bedroom. So I met a couple at the church I was interning at the time who were starting a new farm, and they were looking for a part-time farm hand to assist with getting a new farm stand off the ground. So I started spending a few afternoons a week assisting with harvesting and washing and prepping produce to be sold at their market. And while there, I learned a lot about the amount of work it takes to prepare the land before ever planting anything. One of the most important and preliminary tasks is to level the land. This is so crucial for the ecosystem of a farm so that each plant and crop has access to good quality soil. Leveling the land is what allows each plant to access and absorb the nutrients it needs. And if you don't farm or garden with level land, you risk some of your plants experiencing root rot or exposure to disease. And over time, it will affect the health of all of the plants. Leveling takes some time and attention, and you need the right tools, but ultimately, it helps prepare the way for a functional ecosystem where each plant can flourish. I was reminded about this work of leveling land while reading this text that talks about a crowd of people gathered on a level place, a level plain that allowed Jesus and the crowd to stand shoulder to shoulder, seeing one another eye to eye. And shortly before this sermon we heard read from the scripture today, Jesus has just appointed his disciples, and now they are embarking on their life of discipleship, following and learning with Jesus. He's already been traveling around and teaching, and he has healed some people along the way, so there's started to be chatter about him. And the sermon on the plain, which is what we heard read aloud today, is the first recorded words of instruction we have from Jesus to his disciples. But if you remember, it wasn't just his disciples there, though. There was a large crowd gathered to listen to Jesus in this level place. And it makes me wonder about the stories of the people who came to hear him in that crowd. I imagine some people came because they'd been hearing stories about this rabbi who was teaching on the Sabbath and talking about a different type of law. News was starting to spread of his miracles and healing, and I wonder if some people were coming with deep hope and longing for themselves, or maybe for a sick loved one. I imagine some people came with a bit of skepticism, maybe not fully able to understand the stories they've been hearing and wanting to see it with their own eyes. I imagine some people were there because they've been suffering under the current social order and longing for release and hope. So we get this diverse crowd of people from different places gathered on level ground, listening to Jesus preach a message about blessings and woes. There are some important people who were not present in that crowd that day, though, because in the background of this message that Jesus is giving, we have the Pharisees and the Roman Empire, the powers that be at the time, beginning to plot Jesus' arrest. They're feeling angry with him for not adhering to the established order of things, and maybe more so threatened by all of the interest and appeal that people have in this Jesus who has come to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So I imagine they're not here that day because they may not be interested in what Jesus has to say. Because his sermon may not feel like a message of good news for those powerful leaders who are holding people captive. And so it's interesting and perhaps makes good sense that when Jesus goes to give this sermon to his disciples, he doesn't hold back or then take them to a private place once that crowd gathers. Instead, he continues on, allowing every person who came to be part of his audience. And I imagine Jesus looking each person in the crowd that day in the eyes as he is speaking to them, beholding his people before him, saying, "Blessed are you who are poor and hungry and weeping, grieving, or reviled. Blessed are you." Jesus' message to those who are suffering or marginalized, who are grieving, whose hearts are broken, is that he sees them and acknowledges their pain. Jesus' sermon is a blessing of love and hope for all of us who have known pain and suffering. I imagine it like a parent scooping up their child as they're crying, holding their face in their hands, looking them in the eyes and saying, "I see you, I love you. I'm working to make this world a better place for you." Jesus' message doesn't end there, though. He continues speaking to the crowd, noting that for each of these people he's just spoken to truly feel blessed, some people are going to have to change how they're living. "Woe to you who are rich, full, laughing, held in high esteem." He offers woe or warning to those who are benefiting from the current order of things, to those who maybe are not aware of the suffering of the people who've gathered on this level place next to them that day. And his message concludes with something that we often refer to as the golden rule: treat others as you wish to be treated. I hear the heart of Jesus' message to be that he's trying to show us a different set of values, a new way of being in relationship with each other. This is maybe some of the closest set of instructions we get about how to be followers of Jesus together. Following Jesus and being a disciple means loving and blessing our neighbors. Jesus is preaching a gospel of solidarity. He's looking out into the crowd of faces and saying, "I see and know each of you and what brings you here today. And I don't have much time." He knows what's happening in the background. He's looking out and saying, "I need each of you to help me." So for those who came with tears welling in their eyes or hunger pains wrestling in their stomachs, who came despite having nothing left to give, He's reminding them that they are loved. And that God's vision is for them to know release and fullness and compassion. And then he's turning to their neighbors, perhaps some of the ones who came with skepticism or who feel like they've got it all figured out or who've acquired much wealth. And he's saying, I see you too and all that you've worked for and acquired, but it means nothing if it's at the expense of your neighbors. I hear him calling these people toward him and inviting them to be transformed by his love and mercy. He wants everyone to truly see and care for one another. Franciscan priest Richard Rohr says that part of Jesus' mission is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I think that's the heart of what Jesus' message to us today is too. He's calling for a leveling out of the social order, where the powerful and wealthy will be compelled to share the resources and privileges that have been entrusted to them. And in their doing so, those who are suffering, poor, and hungry will be lifted up. And so you, like me, may be wondering how this text and a sermon that Jesus preaches, calling for a leveling out of things and an active love of our neighbors, has something to say to us on this All Saints Sunday. But as we draw to mind today the saints who have gone before us, we are intimately aware of how thin the veil between life and death really is. We're reminded how sacred life is. And so it's a very fitting day to reconnect with how we are called to live with and for one another in this time that we're gifted to share together. Jesus is commissioning and calling this crowd to follow him because he needs them to be agents of his blessing. It's a similar thing that we do when we gather week after week here at church, or when we approach this table for communion, to be blessed and nourished by the very blood and body of Christ, not so that we can hold that tightly to our chests, but so that our lives would reflect Christ's blessing. We come to the table palms up on level ground to receive the same blessing of Christ's mercy that our ancestors and the saints before us have received. And we are sent from the table to embody the love of Christ. Our mission statement here at St. Stephen is to be the hands, feet, and heart of Jesus Christ. To truly embody Christ's ministry of love and blessing, not just in thought and prayer, but with how we are living our lives day to day. And Jesus invites us to join the legacy and company of the saints in our own lives as we move toward the people and places around us that are in need. And instead of turning away, to ask ourselves, what blessing do I need to receive today? What blessing do I have to offer? How can I be part of leveling out the order of things in my community? And as we try to discern and understand how we ourselves uniquely are called to embody Christ's love and solidarity, we can turn to stories of God's love in action. Stories from the Bible of Jesus sharing meals with people and setting prisoners free and caring for immigrants and feeding the hungry. Stories of Jesus coming near to and weeping with those who are grieving. We also remember today the stories of the saints in our own lives who modeled Christ's solidarity. Saints whose hands fed and cared for us. Hands that maybe became calloused or greasy or dirtied by soil while working to care for our families. Hands that held us in our sorrow. We remember the stories of the saints whose hearts modeled unconditional love and forgiveness to us. Saints whose feet walked difficult paths so that we might have a better footing. One of the saints of our faith, Reverend Fred Rogers, maybe best known as Mr. Rogers, talks about this role that we play in one another's lives. He says that from the time you were very little, You've had people who smiled you into smiling, people who talked you into talking, sung you into singing, loved you into loving. He would frequently ask his friends and audience about who the people in their lives were who loved them into being. What a beautiful question. In my work as a hospice chaplain and grief counselor, I feel humbled to sit with people who are facing the final days of their lives and with loved ones who are navigating grief. And often the heart of my conversations with people revolves around wanting to make sure that the people in their lives, that their loved ones know and understand the impact they've made for one another. Not because of their profession or titles or accolades, but for the ways they've cared for and loved one another into being. For the rest of my life, I'll remember the earthly saints who have carried me through a season of grief this year after my dog Olive died. I've had places to rest my head when it felt too painful to be in my house without her. I've had people who fed me. And most importantly, I have people who continue to remind me that I'm not alone in my grief. And so I wonder, who are the saints in your own life that you are remembering today? Who are the saints that have shown you Christ's love and solidarity? God's love moves toward people who are hurting and suffering and responds with care and action. And we are called to follow in the way of God's love. So I pray that we can heed Jesus' call to continually renew our commitment to bless all of creation, to be reminded that all we have is a gift from God, and to dirty our hands in the work of leveling a path toward blessing and flourishing for all. We become the leveling hands, feet, and heart of Christ when we embrace holy conversations where we name injustice and oppression and hold one another accountable. When we respond with compassion to the fear of families who are grappling with the idea of losing benefits to put food on their table. Blessings like the work of the youth here at this church who've worked to create a free food pantry. Or when we open ourselves to be transformed by the teachings and grace of Jesus. When we invest our resources, our time and our money, our vote, our education, to provide for and advocate for the most vulnerable among us. When we take time like we are today to honor those who have gone before us and to care for one another and our grief. Because it's in these spaces where our solidarity and love begin to level out the soil so that all of creation can be rooted in God's blessing. Today, I feel reminded that in many ways, death is the ultimate leveling. It reminds us of our shared humanity and that we belong to each other. Earlier, we heard the names read aloud of the saints in our own community, and maybe you called to name people that you also are remembering. And in doing that together, we have blessed their memory and their legacies. And so I again invite you to hold these people gently in your mind right now. And if some of these people were part of loving you into being, I invite you to reflect today on how you would like to continue embodying their legacy of love. What I learned during my short time working on a farm is that the work of leveling and preparing the soil doesn't only happen one time. It takes ongoing care and attention to keep the land level for each growing season, tilling and pruning, raking and compacting soil. And our discipleship journey is similar. There are times when we will find ourselves in need of care and need to be lifted up by the care of our neighbors, And there may be other seasons of our lives where we come here to be reminded of our call to care for and bless one another. We don't know how the crowd of people on that level place responded to Jesus that day, or how each person there may have been transformed by his teaching. But we together can hold to the promise that the God who shows us the way of love through Jesus, and who formed each of us from the very dirt of the earth and breathes life into our being, is the same God who comes near to us in moments when we are hurting and grieving and hungry, and calls us beloved and blessed. A God who will go to great lengths to make it so. Amen. Holy and loving God, for the many ways that you have and will continue to bless us, we ask continued for reminders of your love as our guide. Would you equip each of us to be agents of your blessing, offering us daily reminders that we indeed belong to one another. Help us to love one another into being. Amen.